Riot Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see. Gritterdon is on. Sixlin is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Peg McGroin is on. And Waterline 46 is on. Those Jesus people is on. TJT1 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Junie Anita is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Let me see. Bill F1 is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Mike Griffith's on. Jenna Fogg is on. Dana Al 59 is on. Earth Tours is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Sixlin is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Riffadota is on. Bill F1 is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Let me see. General Pileman is on. Goozy 600 is on. Jenna Fogg is on. Sneaky McGroin is on. Granite 2468 is on. Black Bart 201 is on. Paul's M NYC is on. Milwaukee James is on. Prayer Works too. I saw you guys. I said you guys. Love you though. Love you twice. Let's see here. 11 Carl 11 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Todd Suff is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Michelle Tile is on. Bud Dave is on. Scrolling down here. Let's see here. Anybody else I'm missing? Jim Brody's on. Guitar Glenn is on. Keyline 13 is on. Uncle Wally's on. JBC 2020 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. All right. So obviously there's some pretty earth-shattering news came out yesterday about the medical condition of the former president, Joe Biden, having advanced prostate cancer. Here's the thing, folks. This is a difficult tightrope to walk because you want to be gentle towards somebody who's facing a life-threatening illness. But really, whatever I'm attacking, it's the establishment, just so you know, not the body of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's a corrupt criminal. Okay, you have to be able to delineate the two. Do I hope that he recovers from this cancer? I really do. I hope that he recovers from the cancer. That's genuine. I really do hope he gets saved. Hope he repents of his sin. Hope he stops wanting to butcher the unborn and gets healthy. I do. I want all of that, and that's absolute truth. But what I'm attacking is the corruption of Joe Biden, the corrupt person of Joe Biden, the corrupt administration around him, who put out in one of his, from one of his medical examinations, from one of his checkups, he was deemed to be a, quote, healthy, vigorous, I'm reading the quote, healthy, vigorous, 80-year-old male. That was never the case. It was never the case that he was a healthy, vigorous, 80-year-old male. Now, how are we going to set this up? I just want everybody to know it is impossible for him to have late stage prostate cancer just discovered yesterday. That is important. I know the news came out yesterday. Maybe it was discovered on Friday, whatever it is, or Saturday. Doesn't matter. There's no way that this happened. There's no way that he has prostate cancer that has spread to his bones and that it was just discovered yesterday. Or this weekend. That is impossible. And that's the paint, that's the picture that's being painted by the prior and current Biden administration, the people around him. Oh my gosh, he has prostate cancer. If he has prostate cancer, he's had prostate cancer for between 5 and 10 years. That is what all the doctors are saying. I'm going to set this up with a doctor so I didn't make it sound like I'm trying to. I'm not just making it up. This is what I've heard. This is what I've seen. This is what I've heard. Benny Johnson video, urologist Dr. Schusterman says it's unheard of for someone with Biden's level of care not to know he had prostate cancer for five to 10 years ago. Play it for me.
It's very unlikely that someone could get annual checkups and not notice a PSA elevation over the past, this is what I typically would see in a VA hospital where a patient hasn't had medical attention in 10 years, presents to an emergency room with bone pain, and then they find that it's metastatic prostate cancer. But in the modern age of medicine, especially the fact that he was a former president, he had intensive state-of-the-art, care where we can see prostate cancer, 10 years in the past. So this is, it's very unusual to hear that someone has prostate cancer where they're annually being followed up. And the fact that we just find it at a Gleason 9 is just pretty much unheard of in this day and age of medicine. Even in the, you know, even in the inner city populations, we wouldn't see it.
So you're saying even in a medically neglected population, it would be surprising to have a surprise diagnosis with a Gleason score of 9. So you're saying that certainly as he was serving in the Oval Office, you believe that he knew that he had prostate cancer, and even potentially as he was running in 2020 before he assumed office?
Well, most likely he had prostate cancer for a long time. And the aggressive prostate cancer such as this at age 80 grows over a long period of time. I mean, usually it takes from the first diagnosis of prostate cancer to spread would take 5 to 10 years. Even in the most aggressive form, it's just, to me, it seems very surprising that the first diagnosis would be a metastatic diagnosis, especially Gleason 9 cancer, without, having his PSA history. I mean, I would like him to get to release the PSA history right now to see what it was. I mean, I'm talking from an area of kind of not as much information as I would like to have.
And it is not.
See, again, the Democrats are asking us to believe the impossible. Now, why are they doing this? This is the thing. Why? There has to be a motivation behind this. Because, I mean, in my opinion, they're letting this out because of all the revelations that are coming out right now. Because of the revelation of the Her tapes, the Tapper book, where Jake Tapper's finally acknowledging that which is true that he denied and covered up for the last 4 years, in his book about the cognitive decline of Joe Biden. So, I mean, who knows why it's coming out, but they're asking us to believe the absolute impossible. There is no way that Joe Biden, and Aaron brought it up while we were watching the video. I mean, this is a man not only who's a multi-millionaire because of vast global looting via his siblings and his son, but vast wealth. And he's the president for the last 4 years. I mean, there is nobody whose health is more under the microscope than the president of the United States. You're talking about high end healthcare. I mean, blood tests every year, just like the doc said, Schusterman, this comes in when somebody just discovers prostate cancer, even the most aggressive prostate cancer, the doctor said this, even the most aggressive prostate cancer grows between 9 and 10 years before it like kills somebody, or maybe even said gets to the bone level where it's metastatic in the bones. So this is impossible. So they're asking us again. And of course, this is nothing unusual for those of us who are red-pilled, because they asked us to believe the impossible when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccination, COVID-19, masking, social distancing, shutdowns, lockdowns, 6-foot distance. Believe the impossible that CO2 is going to end the world. They just want you to believe the absolute impossible. And that's what this is. Oh, we just discovered this. And by the way, they're not saying that he's had it and this has been an ongoing battle. Because if they do, they're going to have to acknowledge bold-faced lying over the last 4.5 years. Because they kept saying, remember, this is a healthy, vigorous 80-year-old male. He's not healthy and vigorous when you have advanced prostate cancer. So they'd have to acknowledge bold-faced lying. So now they're going to, instead of acknowledging their lies, which they never will do, they're asking us to believe a galactic-level lie, which somehow Joe Biden gets to advance prostate cancer without anybody knowing it until Friday. That's what they're asking. I mean, I just saw it Sunday. So it's Saturday, Sunday. It was the quote unquote discovered. And that's what they're saying. That it was basically that it was discovered then. They haven't come out and said that it's been a long battle for a long time. On the good news end of it, it has some hormones that's involved in this. It is even at the level that it's at, it's still highly treatable. And I hope it gets better. I really do. I hope he gets better. I hope he gets saved. But again, these people are all lying. It's all just bold-faced lying, asking the American public to believe the impossible. And all the doctors, all the urologists are going, this can't be. This can never happen, especially to the president of the United States. And even if he wasn't the president of the United States, just prior to that, I mean, he was the vice president. And then just prior to that, I mean, he had the 4 years of Trump administration, but he was, you know, a professor at a college, although he never taught a class. This is a man who receives, I mean, high level medical care with a huge retirement every year. I mean, for the rest of his life, he'll get high end medical care. So it's just all impossible. All right, so let's get back to politics. All right, Stephen L. Miller tweet. I warned you, they have no bottom. I just wanted to show you this because this is written. Look at the dates on this. March 16th, 2025 versus February 12th, 2024. How did so many elected Democrats miss Biden's infirmity? And then 1 year prior, Biden's age is a campaign problem, not a governing one. This is the same woman writing the same article. You're like, how could anybody be that duplicitous? Because they are devoid of all integrity. And just imagine that you know that all of these articles are easily postable, be posted over and over again, and they will be put side to side. And has Michelle Goldberg come out and said, you know what, Moe, I missed it? Absolutely not. If it was me and I missed it that bad, I would come out and announce it. Every time I blow it on the podcast, I come out and say, you know what, I really blew it on that. I mean, the exact same. How did so many elected Democrats miss Biden's infirmity? She wrote 2 days ago. And then last year, right when the campaign was heating up, Biden's age is a campaign problem. Certainly not a governing one because he's a healthy, vigorous 80-year-old male. I mean, just imagine being a person like Michelle Goldberg. You mean, again, and I know I'm all over this all the time because I really don't know how people live with themselves. I don't know how you live with yourself when you're a paid propagandist, Goebbels liar. I don't get it. Mockingbird, Pravda, the liar. I don't get it. We have no integrity at all. No humility, no dignity. You just go out and you will say what somebody else tells you to say. It reminds me of like guys who are scared of their wives and the wife sits behind them and tells them what to say. Ever been around a guy like that? I have. The wife's like, he doesn't really mean that. Oh, yeah, I don't really mean that. You know, I mean, literally, it's like Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, controlling the stormtrooper. These aren't the droids you're looking for in the husband. These aren't the droids you're looking for. I'm like, man, when did you lose your balls? Did they fall off or did you get them cut off? That's what I want to ask. Did they fall off or did you get them cut off? I mean, that's what I want to know. Did your wife schedule you? She went in there, didn't she, into a clinic with you. And she Obi-Wan Kenobi'd you in the clinic and told him, I want my balls cut off. I want my balls cut off today. I mean, that's how devoid of all integrity and human dignity these people are, that they will just continue to stenographer for somebody else. Truly amazing. Let's go to the next one. Clipkeeper video, a clip of Kamala Harris berating Robert Hur for his gratuitous and inaccurate and inappropriate report, which included facts about Joe Biden's mental acuity. Play it for me.
I have been privileged and proud to serve as Vice President of the United States with Joe Biden as President of the United States. And what I saw of that report last night, I believe is, as a former prosecutor, the comments that were made by that prosecutor, gratuitous, inaccurate, and inappropriate. So the way that the president's demeanor in that report was characterized could not be more wrong on the facts. And so I will say that when it comes to the role and responsibility of a prosecutor in a situation like that, we should expect that there would be a higher level of integrity than what we saw. Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Higher level of integrity. They ought to be thanking Robert Hur because he should be under criminal indictment right now. Absolutely. And right now he should be under criminal indictment because he was in possession of classified documents that there's no earthly way for it to be legal for him to be in possession of them. No matter what they say about Donald Trump, there is always a legal argument under the Presidential Records Act. And just for the record, he was in legal possession of all of the documents that he was being prosecuted for under Jack Smith. But Joe Biden has nothing. All of those records were secured. They were secured from SCIFs and other locations, stored in three locations, all while he was vice president or Senate, of which he has no right to be in possession of them whatsoever. 1,850 boxes of them. and he wasn't prosecuted at all, and Democrats are attacking Robert Hur. The reason why Robert Hur doesn't care is because he's one of them. No, but you heard the things he said about... Listen, you ever been around a real prosecutor? Real prosecutor isn't worried about a elderly man that has memory problems. That doesn't excuse you from being in possession of classified documents that you've been in possession of since the 90s. Doesn't excuse that. There's no way out. Is that, I guess if you have somebody who has a lower than normal IQ and murder somebody, I guess they're off the hook because they have a lower than average IQ. No. They had a bit, but this is the same thing they did with Comey, by the way. And Comey knew it was coming. When he decided to take a closer look at Hillary's emails right before the election, he did that to both save his own rear end. But they just attacked him. He knew they were going to attack him, but he still chose never to prosecute her. And she was obviously in violation of the law. She obviously was not containing those records in a lawful fashion. That was an absolute fact. There's no way around. When you have a server in a bathroom in Colorado and that server contains highly classified compartmented information, I'm sorry, it is a gratuitous violation of the law. And Comey said no prosecutor would ever take up that case. So he didn't prosecute it. He never did prosecute. He just took a beating. Now he's on a book tour and making $500,000 a speech, or $500,000 every couple speeches. So here, remember Jill, I just had to play, this is just having fun here. But remember Jill after the debate. This is great. Here's Jill Biden after the debate that ended up costing Joe Biden the campaign. Adam Hughes video followed by a Puerto Rican video. Play for me.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
And that was the debate that cost Joe Biden the possibility of being the 47th president. But anyway, so it's just all of this stuff when it comes to Joe Biden's abilities in office. I don't want to, when he was still in office, I don't want to relitigate it because we've gone the last two shows on it. And, with the cancer diagnosis, why it came out, with all the things that are coming out right now and with the attack on. It's just kind of weird, isn't it? Because the people who are running his life were the ones who covered up his cognitive decline, and they're the ones that are now making the decision to release this information about this stunning diagnosis. It's not a stunning diagnosis. It is medically impossible for it to be stunning. Medically impossible. Unless he had lived alone for 20 years, it is medically impossible for it to be stunning, but yet they want us to believe it. So why are they releasing it now and lying about it? The lie is not that he has prostate cancer. The lie is that it was just discovered on Saturday. That's a lie. Again, just more and more lies that they want the American people to swallow without question. All right, change the subjects. Benny Johnson video. Rep. James Comer says potential staffers who operated Biden's auto pen have been identified. Play for me.
You are going and looking at who is controlling this auto pen, because Joe Biden, I mean, he's demonstrating that he doesn't have all the cognitive capabilities they had. That interview was from 2023.
Yeah, that's hard evidence. Early in the President Biden's term as president, it clearly shows that he was in significant mental decline. It questions who was actually making the decisions. So what we found is not just with the pardons he issued, but many of the executive orders that the courts are now using to Trump-proof, many of the executive orders that President Trump is trying to implement to make government more efficient, many of these executive orders, as well as the pardons of Biden's entire family as a result of our investigation, these were all signed with the auto pen. And clearly from that interview, which was many, many months prior to the heavy use of the auto pen, Joe Biden wasn't capable of making decisions. He wasn't coherent. We think we've identified who the staffers are. Jason, you all have done great work with that over at Heritage Oversight. We're going to bring everyone that we believe was involved in any role in the use of the auto pen. We're going to invite them to come in for a transcribed interview. If they want, then they will receive a subpoena and they will have a full-blown deposition. But we want to find out who was actually making the decisions in the White House during the last 9 months of the Biden administration when he was clearly in mental decline.
Yeah, I mean, again, these things are heating up. Is this the reason why they're releasing the diagnosis? Where you have James Comer now, he's requesting Biden staffers, if they don't come, they get subpoenaed. And if you don't, remember the new rules now. Eric Holder wasn't held to them, but we have been held to them. I mean, because that's what put Navarro and Bannon in prison for 4 months, respectively, each, is because they refuse to honor a congressional subpoena. So if these people do not honor the congressional subpoena by a select committee, then they are actually obstructing Congress and they'll be put in prison, I hope. But again, then I hesitate to say all those things only because then they would go to the D.C. Circuit, which right now is being run by Jeb Boasberg. So the odds of them being in prison is never good. But anyway, so James Comer is saying we need to find out who it is that was actually signing these things by pushing a button, Joe Biden's auto pen button. Will that ever happen? I don't know. But we need to, because it could invalidate every last one of his pardons. And the person in charge of all of these pardons, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, is Ed Martin, the one they refused to allow through Tom Tillis, refused to allow to be the U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. That's the person now in charge of pardons. Great move, Dems. Great move, Tommy Tillis, operative for the Dems, even though you're a Republican. Let's go to the next one. Rep. Wesley Hunt, press office breaking. The hotline from, did anybody know this? Just going into some Biden accomplishments for these last two slides here. Breaking the hotline from the Pentagon air traffic, get this, Aaron, you're going to love this one, as Aaron's a pilot in training. Breaking the hotline from the Pentagon air traffic controller to the DCA tower has been out of commission for over 3 years.
Oh my gosh.
So they couldn't talk to the airport which one is DCA? See if you can find that out
it's
for
Reagan,
me.
Reagan, I think.
Is that Reagan?
Yeah.
So yeah, was where the crash was. Was that Reagan or was it Dulles or whatever?
I think it was.
But anyway, just look it up for me here in DCA. But anyway, why has this not been fixed and why are we finding out 3 years later? Play it for me.
Is it true that the hotline, the direct line between the Pentagon air traffic control and the DCA tower, has been inoperable since March of 2022?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Who maintains that hotline?
I believe the DOD maintains that hotline, but I think the next question would be, why were we not aware of it and insist upon it being fixed? And
I didn't have that written down, but it's a good one.
You know, let's just all, again, that was Secretary of Transportation Duffy. That was, you could see at the very beginning of the video. Now, who was his predecessor? That would be Buttigieg. So for 3 years, Buttigieg had all of 2021, all of 2022, all of 2023, all of 2024, and never fixed the hotline between this, that's Reagan National, and the Pentagon, and we had a helicopter crash that killed everybody on board, both helicopter and jet. I mean, imagine that level of ineptitude. Just imagine that level. That you have all of those years. There's a hotline. It's kind of important. Would everybody agree? Since there's a military base right there, that the military base can communicate with Reagan National. I mean, just imagine the level of incompetence to not fix it. And these people, all they ever do is ask us for more and more and more money for their incompetence. 3 years this thing sat here until it was finally discovered that it doesn't work. By, I'm assuming, Pete Hegseth, Secretary Duffy, whoever it may be, but it was finally discovered and will soon be fixed. Let's go to the next one. Mischief video. This is a very interesting presentation. It's just a minute or two. But anyway, from Sebastian Gorka, I never put this, I never knew. If I would have thought about it, I would have known. But I never put these numbers together. Mischief video, more Americans were killed in 1 year by the Biden administration through the use of cartels than in the past 75 years of armed conflict. Play for me.
More Americans were killed in 1 year, thanks to Biden and Harris and the cartels who facilitated them, than in 75 years of armed conflict, from Korea to Vietnam to Panama to Grenada, Gulf One, Gulf Two, Afghanistan. In all of those conflicts combined, 103,000 Americans were killed. I went to Biden's CDC website and I looked for the data on deaths by fentanyl and illicit drug use smuggled across the border. It was hard to find. You got to dig deep at the Biden CDC website, but I found it. In the second year of Biden and Harris's open border policies, 110,000 Americans were murdered by illicit drugs smuggled into this country, and in many cases prepared with precursors from China. We are at war with the cartels, and that's why President Trump, Stephen Miller, Governor Noem, Tom Homan are doing what they do, because we will not permit this to
come. I mean, think about just how hellish this actually is, that more people were killed by the Biden administration. Tom, it's awfully harsh to say they were killed by the Biden administration. If you are the one that's responsible, I mean, who's responsible? If you are running any sort of institution, any sort of office, any sort of working environment, whatever it may be, and you hire, maybe it's a daycare, and you hire a pedophile, knowingly hire a pedophile, and he goes in and molests kids, who's responsible? You and the pedophile. So they knew exactly, and by the way, Biden, and because it's all globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist stuff that I don't want to lapse into all that. It's all part of that agenda to flood the first world countries with third world immigrants, because third world immigrants have no attachment to the country they're immigrating into. So they're very easily globally governed out of Davos, London, or Beijing. So it was all on purpose. They knew. I mean, again, just look at the statistics. 495,000 convicted criminals that we know of. So it's one to five times that many. So it's a minimum of 1 million convicted criminals that they allowed in, according to CBP statistical data, because it's always one to five times higher than the released data. So we know that. And then among those 495,000 is 30,000 convicted rapists and murderers, and it's one to five times that many. So it's a minimum of 60,000. Rapists and murderers that were allowed into this country. If you're the one who's purposely letting them in, the abortionist will abort you before you're born or after you're born. So they're absolutely fine with you being raped and murdered. They have no conscience towards a human life, a human being. So this is just 1 year. 1 year of the Biden administration killed more Americans then the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf War, Gulf II War, and all of our other military conflicts combined. 1 year as a Democrat. 1 year of a Democrat presidency. And how do you, as a Democrat, if you're a Democrat, how do you look at yourself in the mirror? How do you advocate for another Democratic Party administration? How can you possibly do it? Look at these numbers. That's just 1 year. It's 1 year, so I think the fentanyl deaths went down somewhat. But they were, at least for 2 years, it was 100,000 per year. So let's be nice. Let's say that it was 100,000 first year, 100,000 second year, 50 and 50. So for, a total of 300,000? 300,000 drug deaths because the Biden administration was in partnership with the cartels, allowing them to sex traffic minors, labor traffic minors, and drug traffic fentanyl into the United States of America. And 100,000 Americans died per year. This is just one. If you really look at it, so they cost the deaths of 300,000 Americans. They talk about COVID. 300,000 Americans. And all of these other combined wars were 103,000. So Biden, in his term, killed more Americans than all the wars after World War II. Times three, because this is just 1 year that Gorka's covering. Times three, that's just 1 year. So Joe Biden's responsible for about 300,000 American deaths from fentanyl and drug trafficking alone that he allowed to pour over the southern border unfettered. And that's three times the amount of people that died in all wars post-World War II. Imagine that. Imagine being a Democrat and advocating for a Democratic Party candidate. I will never get how people, it showed there, if you saw the pregame, the very first video was a street interview asking Democrats, and this is summarization, but what's Trump done that's so bad? It's his words. What word? They can't think of one thing. I can think of a million things why a Democrat is harmful to America. And here's just one of them right here. Here's one of them. I could just go over and over again. The rape and murder of Rachel Moore and the rape and murder of a myriad. You know, we could put up one slide after another. 12-year-old girl. Lake and Riley. We could do five shows on it. I could give you the stats out of the top of my head from the border. 15,000 illegal border crossings per day under the Biden administration at its height. $86 billion worth of high-tech American military equipment left on the ground in Afghanistan. Evacuating the military before you evacuate the civilians out of Afghanistan? And then doing a drone strike on a family of 10, killing all 10, seven of which were children. I could go run right after another. Printing 44% of our current currency during a four-year administration, causing hyperinflation. You know, not allowing oil drilling, refusing to give permits for oil drilling, skyrocketing oil prices until you raid the SOR. And when you raid the SOR, you do $100 million worth of damage to the infrastructure of the SOR. I could go on and on and on about the hellish 4 years of Joe Biden. And just for those, you know, the COVIDologists out there, according to his own CDC, 3 times more people died of COVID under his administration. I don't believe any of those numbers, but than they did under the Trump administration. And all of his entire administration was post-glorious vaccinations. Everyone needs to be looking to that too, about why it is. You know, Joe Biden vaxxed numerous times. Well, does that have anything to do with cancer diagnosis? All right, let's go to the Trump administration. All right, next pick. Trump's actions are pushing thousands of experts to flee government. This is the greatest news ever. This is absolutely great. The experts. The U.S. DOJ Service's push for early retirement and deferred resignation is leading to a federal brain drain, longtime staffers fear. Obviously, this is coming from mainstream media. What they don't understand is this is great news for us. I do not regret my vote. This is exactly what I wanted. Not happy about the big, beautiful bill, which I'm not going to get into that tonight, but the big, beautiful, I could get into it because it's on top of my head, but the big, beautiful bill is not good. I mean, it's just maintenancing Pelosi, Schumer, Biden, Harris, spending. If we're going to cut spending, why are we not cutting spending? Why are we not even trying to cut spending? The big, beautiful bill absorbs all of DOJ's savings and respends them. And this is all under Donald Trump. These things have to change at some point. And everybody will say, well, he's doing this one so that, you know, we don't hit a rough patch. And everything gets funded, and it's for political purposes, so that, you know, right before the 2026 election, okay, eventually, folks, there's always another election. We're gonna have to make cuts. And what did he do? He increased military spending. You don't increase military spending. We already spend $900 billion on the military. It's been increased to $1 trillion. Everybody hates when I attack Trump. Donald Trump, to me, belongs on Mount Rushmore. He's the greatest president of my lifetime, and really the greatest. I'm 56, and he's from one of the greatest, if not the greatest president in history. That's how I feel about him, but it doesn't mean he's flawless. And we are almost $37 trillion in debt, and we're not doing anything. The big, beautiful bill, if we continue at those spending levels, by the time the Trump administration ends, we're $40 trillion in debt, folks. Does that sound like we're lowering the debts and deficits and getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse? We have to do it. You're going to have to touch entitlements and the military. You're going to have to do it and risk it. There it is. You're going to have to risk your political career in the next campaign to do that which is correct. You're a corrupt person. If you legislate according to electability, you're a corrupt person. It's like being a pastor and preaching to keep people in the pews instead of preaching the gospel. You preach the gospel. You preach the real Jesus. You don't preach to not offend. So things are going to have to be done. They're going to have to be done. For me, it's a great deal. Let's go back to that other one for me, the last one, Aaron, the Trump's actions. So there we go. The Trump's actions are pushing thousands of experts to flee government. That's a great thing. Go to the next one for me. So here's the previous experts. I think it's good they're leaving, don't you? There's the experts. One, the bottom left is the nuclear expert. Seriously. Of course, down there is Karine Jean-Pierre doing her best Joker impersonation. So there she's an expert because she's a black lesbian immigrant. Then you have, of course, Booty Juice, who, again, going from our D.C., the hotline from Pentagon Air Traffic Control to the D.C. Tower has been out of commission for 3 years, since 2022. And then, of course, you have Richard Levine, who calls himself Rachel, the left there, the health expert. So you got health expert, transportation expert, nuclear expert, and communications expert. I'm glad all of these experts are fleeing government. Of course, all of these have long since been fired. But this is an example of establishment DC expertise. Go to the next one for me. Look at these numbers. Look at these absolutely asinine numbers. And again, we can't, and Aaron, you can mix in that debt clock anytime you see fit.
Okay.
Look at this ridiculousness. Highest paid U.S. government agencies. Now I want Brent, Aaron, myself, and everybody watching, ask yourself, how have these agencies ever helped you? Ever benefited your life in any way, shape, or form? So let's just go from, I don't know if I'm going to say them all, but let's just use a couple at least. We'll go at least the top couple. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, median salary, $247,000 a year to work a government job. Doing what? What's the Commodity Futures Trading Commission ever done? Anybody can even name it? Did you even know it existed? I didn't. How about the Farm Credit System Insurance Corporation? These are government agencies, an insurance corporation. Well, you might want to work there because the average salary, average is $242,000 per year. How about the Securities and Exchange Commission? That's the first one I've actually heard of, where the average salary is $227,000 a year. How about us out here in the private, the private world, the non-government world? How about us? I mean, why is it that the average salary in America, I can't remember what it was, the average median household income in America is like $50,000. But look at these are government salaries alone. I mean, imagine if you have your wife working for one and you're working for the other, you're raking in like 500 G's a year and doing nothing. And they don't, what do they ever do? Look at the Federal Housing and Finance Agency. What's it ever done? You will work there because you make $200,000 a year working there. Intellectual Property Enforcement, $195,000. Well, they've really helped me in my life with my internet, with my intellectual property enforcement. That's really, they've had a big impact in my life. Go ahead, Aaron.
I was just going to say, there's only two people that work at that, Intellectual Property Enforcement. You see the little blue dot?
Oh.
Only two people work there.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even notice that. Wow, look at the Securities and Exchange Commission. 5,000 people work there. And an average salary of $227,000 per year. Yeah, intellectual property enforcement, two people making $200,000 a year. How can you do anything for the entire United States with two people?
What the heck?
That literally is probably, again, a little like a carve-out for relatives.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep this thing going because, you know, I want to get a relative a job and things like that. But you just go down. This is why, Aaron, go back to the debt clock for me. This is why we have this. This is it. Look at this. It's not stopped because the latest budget that Johnson put out, approved by Trump, continued Biden-level spending. Now, there's great things about what Trump's doing, too. He's cut off financing. Planned Parenthood, he's cut off financing global abortions and a myriad of other things, as well as all of the Doge cuts, but it's still running. And I can guarantee you we're going to spend $1 million in the next 21 seconds from right now, because that's exactly what happens. Between 19 and 22 seconds, we spend every minute of every day. So that's at least about three of those a minute. So we're spending about $3 million a minute in this country. And it's not stopped under Trump. And you're like, well, he's only been in office for, 115 days or something like that. No, there's already been a budget that's been put forth by Mike Johnson. This has to stop. And now you've got the big, beautiful bill, which is not big. It's big, all right. And it's going to put us $40 trillion in debt. Eventually, this all ends, folks. It all ends. If you have Japan, who is our biggest debt holder, is Japan wants to cash in their chips, it's over. And what's amazing to me, and I know you've heard this party line many times, you watch this podcast, what's amazing to me is Democrats and Republicans, and even conservative Republicans, voting for their own demise because they are politically expedient, because they get a political victory today. Look at us. You know, Mike Johnson will say, look, hey, we can't be politically attacked because we just funded everything again. Well, great, Mike. You can't be politically attacked. So you get to keep your $150,000 a year job. But the $150,000 that you make is going to be meaningless if this collapses. Why does nobody get it? The $300 million that Nancy Pelosi has in the bank is meaningless if this collapses. So, but yet she keeps spending herself towards this collapsing. I don't get it. I don't understand people. And here's one of the reasons behind it. Wouldn't you like to work for the Civil Rights Cold Case Review Board, Aaron? That's the last one. $183,000 a year. I mean, that's really helped me in my life. I think about all the times the Civil Rights Cold Case Review Board has come through for me. One of these things even needs to exist. None of them. It all needs to be states. State prosecutors, state agencies, state regulators. No need these things. It's all a giant waste of money. Giant waste. All right, let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes video. Okay, this is heartbreaking. You like Tommy, you don't like, you know, Dan Bongino, you don't like Cash. I love him. But this interview is terrible. I mean, they basically said, they absolutely said that Epstein committed suicide. That is absolutely, you know what? Even Bill Barr questioned it. Bill Barr questioned it. And Cash Patel doesn't. Bongino, who I love, I've listened to, I don't know, thousands of Bongino podcasts. I honestly don't know. Listen to him every day, rarely missed until he moved on to be second in command of the FBI. But how do you say that Jeffrey Epstein definitively killed himself? All the cameras off, all the employees asleep, taken off of suicide watch, put in a cell with a dangerous criminal. Why would you put Jeffrey at what? When is a famous inmate ever put into a cell alone with a dangerous criminal? The breaks in his neck are almost always caused by strangulation and never from somebody hanging themselves. From, I can't remember his name now, just one of the most, you know, famous medical examiners of all time. But anyway, they definitively came out and they also said, really, there's nothing much to see in Butler. There's, you know, it's pretty much just what we saw happened that Thomas Crooks. And there's, I mean, I meant to do it and I forgot for the day. Dadgummit. Probably good that I didn't. But anyway, I'm going to have to get it because it's Mike Benz and the connections between Thomas Crook and DHS and Ryan Routh and DHS. Because everyone thinks Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas and the border. It's way bigger than that. It's actually also a law enforcement agency. It is. They have their own law enforcement entities inside of that. Inside of the DHS, and most of the agents that were protecting Donald Trump's only 5 Secret Service agents, and I believe it was 19 DHS agents on site because a lot of the Secret Service was pulled away because Joe Biden was traveling. We know that everybody just wants to take out Joe Biden. Nobody even cares that Joe Biden exists. Nobody cared that Joe Biden exists. The person most likely to be assassinated on planet Earth since 2016 has been Donald J. Trump. Everybody knows that. But they pull out a bunch of Secret Service agents to go protect Jill as she goes. I think she flew off to Europe and nobody cared. Nobody even knew she was going there. Nobody cares anyway. But so it's DHS agents that were doing the protective detail there with absolutely no training in human protection. The sniper team didn't get there till like an hour or two before the event. No debriefings. No communication between local law enforcement and the Secret Service. Thomas Crooks, where he practiced shooting, was at the DHS gun range. And he has encrypted, what do you have, Aaron? Encrypted accounts, encrypted emails, what was it, overseas with whatever? Communication accounts overseas. And Bongino comes out and says, there's nothing to see. That's not on this part of this video, but there's nothing much to see except for basically a rogue actor. Thomas Crooks. 20-year-old guy who serves lunches at the nursing home. doing his gun training, his target practice at a DHS range. All the agents there were DHS. And Bongino and Patel come out and say nothing to see with Epstein, nothing to see with Butler. Play for me.
You said Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. People don't believe it.
Well, I mean, listen, they have a right to their opinion, but as someone who has worked as a public defender, as a prosecutor, who's been in that prison system, who's been in the Metropolitan Detention Center, who's been in segregated housing, you know a suicide when you see one, and that's what that was.
He killed himself. I've seen the whole file. He killed himself.
I know.
You've seen the whole file written by the Biden administration. What are you talking about, Dan? And I am not somebody who tries to find something to attack. You've seen all the positive stuff. I mean, we were here, 7 hours on election night watching Trump get elected and jumping through the roof? This is absolutely freaking pathetic by Patel and Bongino. Pathetic. And they went on to say basically nothing to see in Butler. It was just a rogue actor. Really? Rogue actor with you, what you have. I mean, can you just go through the DHS connections with Ryan Routh and Thomas Crooks? The Secret Service, I mean, imagine the Secret Service knows everybody who's watching, 2 minutes in advance that there's a man with a gun and they tell Trump to take stage. That's exactly what happened. And Cash Patel's going to tell us there's nothing to see in Butler. Jeffrey Epstein could out Mossad, the CIA, MI6, Democrats, Hollywood. He's obviously been a Mossad, CIA, MI6 asset to honeypot political figures and powerful figures for decades. And he just kills himself. And by the way, he was about to get a possible good news about his prosecution. And you're going to tell, and by the way, and again, what's been released? Hey, Aaron, what's been released on Epstein?
Nothing.
And they're just trying to, I mean, this is absolutely pathetic. And by the way, you can look at Bongino, you know he's lying. Look at his face. It's absolutely, I've seen the whole report. Written by Democrats, Dan? Dan needs to go back and read his own books, I guess. This is absolutely pathetic. Can I say that they'll ever be able to prove anything? No, you should say, you know what? It's a very suspicious event, and we have drawn no conclusions. By the way, Trump has never said that it was a suicide. So what's going on with Epstein? They're not releasing anything. There's people on that freaking list that the Trump administration doesn't want released. I think we're just going to have to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think we're going to have to also, I mean, listen, oh, Tom, you're going to lose viewers. I'll lose viewers, and I lose church members all the time from what I say. All the time. They spring, they just leave all the time. You know, you preach the gospel, they leave. You hardcore truth. I mean, why has it not been released? How much longer is it going to be? Aaron, get this. How much longer is it going to be that we're going to continue to hear we're redacting victims off the reports?
Right.
Okay, we're 150 days into that now? I mean, how much more redactions can you possibly do? Which, by the way, the reports are written in the redactions anyway. There's nothing to redact. Everybody know that? There's nothing to redact. The victims have their own what's called supplemental sheets. Tom, how would you know? Oh, I don't know. I was a cop for 25 years. They have their own supplemental sheets that are stamped confidential when it's a victim of a sex crime or a minor. Simple as that. It's already been redacted. It was redacted by the FBI. Even the corrupt FBI has already redacted it. So why aren't we... Why? Okay, how about this? How many victims... I'll ask Aaron and Brent. How many victims are on the Epstein flight log? None. So why haven't we seen that?
Yeah.
Where is it? Marsha Blackburn, senator out of Tennessee, has been asking for it for years now in Tricky Dicky Little Durbin. Gosh, is it really 9:55, Aaron? Is that true?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought it was 9:25. I'm totally serious. Holy moly. Wow. Yeah, somebody, Volvo 960, Tom's shirt says it all. That's right. That's right. That's who you can trust. What was I talking about, Aaron? Well, Epstein.
Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah, Marsha Blackburn. She's been trying to get the Epstein flight list. There's no victims need to be redacted there. Would everybody agree? What victims need to be redacted? Nothing. Why don't we see it then? Dan, Cash. They literally look like Tweedledee and Tweedledum right now.
Yep.
Seriously, ridiculous. You're telling me that a 20-year-old Thomas Crooks climbs up on the building that you're, I mean, get this. So you have the building that has to be secured the most, not secured, and nothing else was going on. He was seen with a rangefinder an hour before the shooting, and nobody did anything about it. There's nothing to see here, Dan. I mean, I've lost total respect for both those guys. Totally, I have. Maybe anybody can redeem themselves. That's ridiculous. Epstein, all the guards were asleep. All the video cameras were broken. He's taken off a suicide watch. Why was he ever taken off a suicide watch? His injuries were not from a hanging. They were from a strangulation. Unbelievable. I should just get off of it. Let's do some more on the FBI here. From the past FBI, which I'm assuming now is pretty much, we're going to have the same kind of FBI that we've always had, because these two clowns, I guess, have just decided, you know what? We're just gonna continue the cover up. Who do they not want us to know about? You can send it to me right now in the chat. Tell me why they won't release the flight log. That's all we want to see. There's no victims on the flight log. Why can't we see it? Because there's Republicans on there, or maybe friends of friends they don't want on there. I'm not saying anything about Donald Trump himself. I'm saying there must be something, and this is gonna drag on. Here we are. Aaron, see if you can find out how many exact days the Trump administration so far. It's going to keep on dragging on. We're redacting victims. Okay, and then it's not talked about for a couple weeks, and then they go back to Bondi. When's it going to be released? The Epstein logs, Epstein flight log could be released anytime. Dick Durbin has it right now. He had it. Now it's in Thune's control. John Thune could already release it. Why is it not released? It's basically held by the Senate. Tricky Dicky could have released it the whole time. Why has it not been released? We're going to hear 119 days. Where is it? We have total control over it. Thune runs the Senate. Johnson runs the House. Trump runs the White House. Conservatives run the Supreme Court. We have more governors than anybody else. Why has it not been released? Who was on that thing that people don't want to know? And you know what? Maybe the person who's on it didn't do anything. I mean, Trump flew with Epstein. RFK flew with Epstein. And they didn't do nothing wrong. They were never on Epstein Island. So let's go back in the past. So here, no, this isn't the past. This is an interview from this weekend. Here's James Comey. Remember, he just happens to be walking down the beach. Walking down the beach. Imagine believing this. They never truly believe it. Imagine espousing it. That you're walking down the beach and you're James Comey, and there's this shells that are put just perfectly in place that say 8647, and you just discovered it. And the shells are even color coordinated. The 86 is different colors than the 47. And you want us to believe you didn't do it and that you just walked upon it. And B, you didn't know what it meant. Play it for me.
We were walking on the beach. We went to the beach to prepare for this week, which was the launch of my book, and to think about the book and to prepare to answer questions about it. And we were walking back towards the road, and we saw in the sand someone had arranged shells with numbers. And Patrice, my wife, said, "Why would someone put an address in the sand?" And I said, "I don't know." And we stood over it, and I said, "You know, I think it's some kind of like political message." And she said, "You know, 86, when I was a server," she did a lot of work in restaurants, "meant to remove an item from the menu when you ran out of ingredients." And I said, "Well, to me, as a kid, it always meant to leave a place, to ditch a place." I said, "That's really clever." So then she said, "You should take a picture of that." And I did. And I posted it on my Instagram account and thought nothing more of it until I heard through her that people were saying it was some sort of a call for assassination, which is crazy. But I took it down. I don't, even if I think it's crazy, I don't want to be associated with violence of any kind.
And then what happened?
I got a call from the Secret Service that night asking if I would speak to them about it. Of course. I admire the Secret Service. They're pros. I spoke to them on the phone. Then they asked the next day when I got home, would I be willing to come in and meet them in person at the Washington field office, which again, I did. And they were pros again.
So again, you're supposed to believe that they just walked upon that. And by the way, this tide didn't get it. It's just perfect timing that the shells were still there. Okay, let's just go ahead and tell the true story, shall we? Comey did it, took a picture of it. Because he is calling for the assassination of Donald J. Trump. There's already been two literal attempts, and then the other kid who killed his parents was on his way to try and kill Trump. And how many other attempts that we don't even know about? And I go right along with Alex Jones with this. Comey is basically sending out a message to the globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitists: let's try again.
Yep.
With as little plausible deniability. You mean, imagine the odds. First of all, the former FBI director and career prosecutor has no idea what 86 means. I know. Brett knows. Aaron knows. You know. And he doesn't. Oh, it looks like an address. And I had no idea what 8647 meant until people were saying it on Twitter. So he, obviously, him and his wife did it and took a picture of it. And now they're both lying. Imagine you're married to liars. You're married to a woman who will cooperate with your lying. How do you trust this woman? How do you trust this man? And Comey has done nothing in his life over the last, since I've heard of him, but lie and lie under oath. And he needs to spend the rest of his life in federal prison for the Russian collusion hoax alone. I mean, you look at the Russian collusion hoax alone. He's sitting in the room. It was him. It was Hussein, Obama, Joe Biden, and John Brennan. They're all sitting in that room together talking about the assertion that they all knew. They came out and they said it. Hillary Clinton, in the room together, Hillary Clinton hired Fusion GPS, actually hired Perkins Coie, which hired Fusion GPS, which hired Christopher Steele, who hired Igor Danchenko, who harvested open source data off of Google and made up a fake dossier. They all said it in that meeting. And Joe Biden said, you know, we can still go after Flynn for the Logan Act. They knew it was already false. Why would you be going after Flynn when you know the accusation is false? Comey's sitting right there. Why would Comey open an investigation into an accusation and an assertion that is patently false that they just discussed was in fact false? Because he is a disingenuous, dishonest, repulsive, demonic human being. Look at this. Who's been in charge of a lot of the Epstein cakes coming out of U.S., coming out of the Southern District of New York? SDNY. New, not only is James Comey's Democrat daughter working as a prosecutor, still under Trump right now. Why is she not fired? Under Trump, appointee U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, James Clayton, but so too is her husband, assistant U.S. attorney Lucas Zakharoff, a Democrat whom FEC records show gave $1,000 to Kamala. Why are these people working under the Trump administration? Fire them all. We don't need them. There's not that many prosecutions anyway. They stand around all day doing nothing, sitting by a water cooler, talking about how they can sabotage Donald Trump. Fire them. That's what Laura Loomer's all about, is identifying these people and getting them fired. They need to be fired. Their political careers destroyed. Absolutely, absolutely, professionally and politically destroy these people's lives, because they will gladly destroy yours. And you're like, well, you're talking about, you know, being retributive there, Tom. You're talking about taking vengeance. I'm not talking about vengeance. I'm talking about protection. If you don't make them eat their own policies and their own agenda and their own procedures, they will then inflict them upon you. So you better protect yourself. It's no different than having a gun at your house. You're not attacking people with a gun. You're protecting yourself from people with guns.
Yeah.
Simple. Life is easy. Fire them. Why are they still there? She's been in charge. She's been in charge of most of the Epstein trials, the Epstein, whether they're grand juries or whatever else, just because they have investigative tools too. But the Epstein trials, she's been in charge of them all. James Comey's daughter. And then, of course, you had James Dunahy, who refused to release all the files to Pam Bondi. And then he was subsequently fired, which makes you vacillate back and forth, doesn't it? Because then you have Bondi raid the FBI with the FBI in New York and goes away with a semi-load full of Epstein materials, and yet they're still not released. And then you have Bongino and Cash Patel, even though I called them clowns because they were very clownish in that, I love the guys, but I mean, I just lost a huge percentage of respect for them. If anything, you simply go on TV and you go, we don't know, even though you do. So, and again, you have the FBI out of D.C. raid the FBI in New York, the Southern District of New York, fire the guy, the James Dennehy, who said, we're gonna fight here. We're going to stand our ground. We're going to resist Trump. That was the guy running the Southern District of New York's FBI branch. We're going to fight. And he's the one who humiliated Pam Bondi with the binders. He gave her that information, put in binders. And she, because she doesn't pay attention to the Epstein stuff like a lot of us do, put out stuff. We're going, we already knew that. She didn't know it because Bondi probably doesn't pay attention to it. We already know. A lot of these people don't know. I hear Trump even say stuff. I'm like, how do you not know that? Everybody already knows it. But anyway, so she didn't know. So Dennehy just screwed her over. And she goes out there and releases those ridiculous binders and makes an absolute public spectacle of herself. And so she raids the FBI, fires Dennehy, and then we still haven't heard anything. Where's the flight log? Tom, get off the flight log. Can't. Why can't we have it? Marsha Blackburn has been asking for it for years. Why can't we see that? It's got no victims on it. I want to see it. What'd you say, Aaron? Was it 115 days in?
Is that
what
it was?
119 days in.
Yep.
Hey, look at this one. Just a little point of interest from the FBI. Paul Sperry tweet, breaking critical 9/11 evidence, including casing video of U.S. Capitol taken by Saudi intel agent al-Bayami, plus calculations of plane rate of descent, were buried by Robert Mueller and the FBI. This glorious, glorious law enforcement agency is burying evidence of a mass 3,000-person homicide. No matter what anybody thinks about 9/11, 3,000 Americans did, in fact, die or disappear. Everybody agree?
Yeah.
Okay, we know it wasn't spontaneous. I guess, let's ask Patel and Bon. Let's ask Patel and Bongino.
Oh gosh.
Let's ask them about 9/11 next. Was that done by the Saudis? Was that done by the hijackers with no involvement, even though they were being trained in the United States, even though our intel agencies had all of their names prior to the event and were tracking them? Is that what Bongino and Patel are going to tell us next? That 9/11 was exactly as it's been reported. Imagine that. You're like, Tom, get off. I can't. Bongino and Patel are now agreeing with Jake Tapper, Aaron.
Yep.
Everything Jake Tapper said about Epstein, everything Jake Tapper said about Butler, they now agree with. Everything Biden said about it, they agree with. Harris said about it, they now agree with publicly. And look what the FBI does. Is this what's happening now in the FBI? More covering up? Because that's what's happened here. Was buried by FBI headquarters by then Director Robert Mueller. FBI evidence tech discovered them in a warehouse set for destruction, Aaron. Why would you bury it? Because you're freaking in on it. That's why. Got to feed that military industrial complex. Well, in order to feed the military industrial complex, you got to have a war. In order to have a war, you got to have a launching pad for a war. You got to have a precursor for a war. So let's blow up a couple buildings. I mean, it truly is, everything that you're told is a lie. And then Bongino and Patel come out and back up the lies. Absolutely disgusting video. Listen, nobody's beyond redemption. I've been pissed at Trump before. They may do the greatest thing in the world coming up. Maybe this is 4D chess and they're saying this to throw people off. Let's hope for the best. Because you couldn't be, listen, I played like, you know, Enter Sandman for Patel coming in and being sworn in and stuff.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, Bongino, he did. He committed suicide. I've read the file. Unbelievable. All right, 10-10. That's good. Enough screaming. But anyway, all right. Love you guys. All right, Rumble Rants tonight, Earth Tours. Wow, $100. Thank you so much, Earth Tours. Nate Dad won $50. Thank you so much. Nude Monk, $20. Riffadota, $20. Chopper Supernut, $5. Skunk, $71. $5. Thank you guys so much. Love each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. It is awesome. Back here tomorrow night. This is stuff I didn't even get to. So much. But anyway, just can't get to it all. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. I'll be back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. God bless you.